Welcome to D&D, the Dinner Party Role Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master James Russell. With me today are fun people, Beth and Mike. Say hi, Beth and Mike.
Hello!
Now there's groove. I feel like I finally figured it out.
It felt good that time.
That was smooth, precise.
It was.
You're a fairy man of words.
A fairy man of words?
A ferryman.
Yeah, I felt like you, I was laying down in the boat.
Ah, F-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like a F-A-I-R-I-E. Or that. Ferryman.
Whichever one you want, really.
Yeah, I guess either could work, depending on...
Gressel's a fairy.
It's a certain point of view.
It is a fairy. A little fairy sitting on your shoulder telling you a story.
I guess, and if in your headphones, that works for you.
Just turn the channel right now to the left side. I'm over here.
Oh, no, that would drive me nuts.
Yeah, I would lose my mind.
Like, I hate those, like, the stereo things where they're like in one ear and then in the other ear. I should do that in the edit there.
Oh God, it gives me chills.
I hate it.
It's like uncomfortable chills.
Yeah.
There's a whole subset of TikTok users
who love it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, turn your phone to its side and then listen to the song, or I'll just fucking whisper into my ear microphones.
The only way it's acceptable is in music when they put the hi-hats in mostly the left. It's fine that way. But like, for whatever reason, speaking?
Yes.
In left and right ear? No.
It's very unsettling.
Yeah.
I love it. Music, speaker separation in the mixing, all that's very important. But
not when you're like setting up your speakers on your computer and it's like, play it from the left speaker. Play it from the... And the woman's or a man is talking to you and it's just like, nah, I don't like this.
Do you think it signals intimacy and that's why you're uncomfortable when the computer man is like, can you hear me?
Probably, yes. No, computer man, I don't want to hear you in just my left ear because...
Stop tickling my senses, computer man.
Computer man sounds horrified.
Especially when you can only hear him out of your left.
Computer man telling me anything.
Your left ear.
However you are listening, if you prefer a... binaural or whatever they call it, experience, or a normal stereo center channel
just
mix.
Just take out your headphone hole. No, there's a new word for it. Your AirPod.
AirPod?
Left AirPod if you like us in your right, and vice versa. You know, be a director of your own intimate whispers.
Sure, yeah. Or get better headphones.
I would recommend that.
Yeah.
Or bass.
So I should not be buying you AirPods for your birthday, Michael Sagan.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to say no.
Okay.
Because you got it.
Did you just ruin a... No, why'd you say that?
I wasn't decided.
Oh.
And also you were like, it's not bassy enough, so I figured it's probably something better.
They have the AirPod Max or whatever.
Well, my ears are giant, so maybe that'll be good.
Big boy ears.
I prefer an over-ear headphone. But however you are listening works for us. It's just important that you do. We appreciate it. We're going to continue telling the prequel story. We are getting closer and closer to the returning to the normal main story that we've been telling for 5+ years. It's just a couple weeks away.
I'm so excited. Wow. I miss our friends.
Like James and Chelsea?
Our
friends in the sense of like our characters are our friends.
Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah. That's so many friends, dude. It's all of our characters plus James and Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot, yeah. No, it is getting close and it's exciting. I'm excited to tell new stories with those characters again.
Oh, I didn't tell you. I had somebody out in the wild ask me to do the Margarine voice recently, and it didn't come to me immediately.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, oh, no. Oh, it's been too long since I have fit into her... stretchy
and I have
skin.
To go back and listen, get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was that at the show we went to?
Yeah, that was Hadestown.
Hadestown.
Great show. So, yeah, we're going to get back into it. I am excited. Please, yes, you'll have to go back and get Marjorie's voice back.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard to go back to, like, kind of
playing
quieter
Fletch. Yeah.
After playing Nils.
Fletch was starting to open up a little bit, although... The end of season 4 was hard on everybody,
yes,
I feel like.
It was. I can't be happy.
We like angry Fletch in season 5.
You are going to get angry Fletch because I don't have my bow.
Yeah, the Stormtail bow was lost.
You got to compensate for your lack of a big...
Tim's got to come find it and bring it back.
It's Tim's quest.
Yeah, Tim's quest.
That's the other pre and D&D.
Oh my God, yeah.
Side D&D.
If I had more time or was just better, that would be
Gressel, if you didn't have a fucking full-time job on top of this.
I know. Well, if that's listen more, listeners. Sign up for more BetterHelp subscriptions. No, don't do that. The best way to support the show is, or do that if you need it and it's helpful, but the best way to support the show is the Patreon. So yeah, we're going to get back into it. Last time we did cut off, this is part two of a multi-part thing, but last time we ran out of time to finish the part of that
story
session. So, so this is part two, but we are doing a full intro and everything. Last time the food was delivery. We didn't get to the payoff of why it was delivery. So that will happen today.
Yeah. Mike and I don't know.
Nope.
We have no idea what's coming.
I got donuts though today.
Since, I might have another.
We will not be doing dinner today, but, yeah, please have, otherwise I will just eat a bunch of donuts after you guys leave. But just as food, donuts are shared. That's a box of donuts. That's a very shared experience.
Thank you.
Yes.
Remember offices? But a lot of people are probably back in their offices. But yeah, so donuts delivery, more D's. but we'll get to that payoff today. And then we will someday soon, I hope, have the meal that inspired the entirety of the prequel, which was paella.
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 That is coming soon to your mouths. And
your ears.
And to your ears, listener.
This November.
And potentially to a recipe card if I write some recipes. But let's get back into it. Let's get back into where we left off last time. We left you off at a dramatic point. It was such a dramatic point that it was like that plus the clock. I forget why we were on
the dog,
time crunch.
I think.
Probably. There were multiple factors, off. I think, going into it. But we got to that point of what Nils saw in the storm. And we were like, that's it. That's the button. And now we're going to pick up immediately at that moment. You were getting to what maybe was the end of your journey. You had traveled quite a bit once you made it to the Feywild. And after promising the wizard Plinthor and B. Lamour that you would find his dinner guest in exchange for his aid in sending you home, you stumbled into this cult conspiracy. And it is at this castle, this cursed castle, Orlthos, that you find yourselves currently with a hunter of some kind, a curse fixer. A mysterious man named Castian Valmoriel, who was sent by the governing council of the Feywild to stop this curse, was unsuccessful in his first attempt, and then enlisted your aid to make this second run at it. Hopefully he is specced out as needed to make his next run.
He is with us.
Yeah. So you made it to the castle through a hidden door in a temple. And then a hidden door within that hidden door, through a mysterious, otherworldly place. And then you found yourselves inside the castle walls, through a courtyard to a graveyard and church. The skeletons and the ghoulish creatures, the undead that stalk this church, this graveyard, or have not attacked you. Castian said that they would be kept at bay if you could just make it to the church. And as you approached that door of this very ancient building, you noticed that the names and stuff on the graveyards or on the gravestones were worn off. You couldn't read any of them when you approached. The church itself was broken down and dilapidated in a very bad state of repair. The shingles on the roof are kind of tile, like a Spanish style, and those were broken and shattered for the most part by an enormous tree root that has erupted from this building and grown into a massive plant structure that is concentrated, it seems, where this storm is concentrated. This particular root is different from the vines and root systems that you have seen before that are are cursed in that its coloring is like a whitish color, like a white gray. It is yeah, it is not a normal kind of brown tree bark color. It's more, but it's not like a birch. Like it's not like a skin that's white. It's a darker, deeper bark that has a whitish grayish tone to it. That leads up, if you were to follow the track of the route with your eyes, it leads up to the storm. And that storm is where, when thunder crashed, Nils saw the outline of what, to his eyes, seemed to be the unmistakable silhouette of a massive dragon. Kat saw a beast of some kind, a very large creature. It would be kaiju vibes. Of this kind of like backlit silhouette as the lightning, the purple lightning crashes within this swirling snowstorm. And you definitely saw something, but you weren't, with your perception roll, able to immediately discern that it was a dragon. However, Nils rolled a nat 20, so
bam,
dragon it is. You find yourselves, Nils, Katheria, Majumbo, and Navia, at the threshold of this ancient church. The carvings that once adorned this door are so faded that you can't make them out. Even if you were to roll religion against them, you would be making your best guesses. There isn't any kind of identifiable, insignia.
Got a question.
Yes.
You said that the roof tiles were of what seemed like Spanish descent. Yes. Is that unusual for the rest of the castle? Does that look
it
displaced?
It fits in with the rest of the castle.
It fits in, okay.
It does, yeah. This castle's, the architectural style overall is more what we in our
Spanish
world
colonialism.
Would know, Spanish. But it's foreign to Nils and Katheria. It's not like the dwarven influenced architecture of Hosk, or the very human halfling architecture of Knight's Pass. There's some elven influence, but Knight's Pass is very man-made compared to other places in the world. Not as man-made as Talon, which is completely a human place, as if we recall from season 2. There's still some whimsy and some art to Knight's Pass.
Unlike the man-made place, which is just steel and dead dreams.
Yes, that's basically what Talon is. That's my intent of it, was just like stone.
Everyone is on the brink of war and we're sad.
Yes. Was it 2017? Yes, it was. So it does fit in with the architecture. Not so much, I mean, yeah, it doesn't bristle.
It wouldn't, right.
Yeah, it wouldn't be something where
set
you
set off curiosity bells. Because at first I was like, did this structure come from beyond? But no.
No. Very old. Fits in, but very old. This tree root grows out of this, and
another question.
Yes.
What's the weather? Is it snowing?
It is snowing. Yes,
it's blustery.
It is very blustery. It's very windy. The wind is whipping through this building. It's whistling through the cracks, the many many cracks in the roof, in the sides of the building.
And so we have entered now.
You are just you are entering as the scene is being described. And Castian is leading the way. The rest of you are following behind him. There's undead all around you. They seem to be closing in behind you, almost blocking you in. Majumbo is backing up. He has his back to you, Nils. Navia kind of doing the same. She has the short sword that she took from one of the previously felled ghoulish members of Castian's former party that she is using as a weapon, since she cannot use her magic, or she should not, feels as though she should not use her magic for risk of a catastrophic wild magic surge.
Which could be beneficial in this case.
It could.
Kat has never fully, in truth, been able to trust Castian. And Castian has been acting it's unusual to her that he would be so affected by his fallen comrades being manipulated by these roots, and now be sort of nonplussed by the zombies and the skeletons, because he was like so confident that they're not going to attack us as long as we just keep moving forward. So I'm going to roll, would it be insight check to see if there's something that he doesn't...
See what his vibe is? Yeah.
Yeah. Is there something that he's not telling me?
That would be insight.
It was a bad roll.
I'm going to grab a donut.
Do it. It was a bad roll. I rolled a 12.
You don't see anything that confirms your suspicions, but you don't see anything that negates them either.
Yeah, because I rolled a 12.
Because you rolled a 12.
It's the most uninteresting number for storytelling purposes.
10 would have been, I think, the exact, like, nothing is different from before.
Why'd you ask a question?
Right.
Why wonder?
I would say maybe with a 12, just from a character perspective, you might be slightly more suspicious in the fact that you couldn't find anything either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's that kind of like almost confirmation bias.
Mm-hmm.
Where like if you went in suspicious, you're not less suspicious. You're not more suspicious based off anything real, but maybe you're more suspicious. I don't know. That's up to Kat. You can't get anything immediate that confirms that he's turned on you or anything. But in this moment, he's just leading you into this building.
Cassian, how much further till we get to where we're going?
Just inside this building, your questions will be answered. And I'm hoping that this whole ordeal will soon be at an end.
Sounds ominous. You can't just answer me now? What's inside?
This peters out. All
right. And now you are inside, and inside is dark. There are no torches. There's no light coming in from the outside, except for in streaks from cracks in the walls where roots have broken through. Some of the cursed roots that you're familiar with, and some branches growing off of this massive one through that has grown through the roof.
Is it dark though?
It's not for Katheria.
Oh.
But also, we jumped off of the wall, and I lit myself up underneath the snow in order to find Navia. Mm-hmm. That lasts for an hour.
Oh, then
unless there's like an emotional shift.
Yeah, if you're
and
still,
I can't remember if there was
if
an
you're
emotional
still lit
shift.
Up. I think you're still lit up. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I'm still lit up.
Okay.
So it is not dark.
It's not dark.
My
yeah.
body is alight.
Yes. Katheria is glowing, but otherwise it is dark. So that's even better because what it's doing is it's casting some light onto what is inside this building. So you can see Nils and Majumbo and, of course, Navia because she has dark vision. But
And Cassian.
And Cassian, yes. He's an elf.
Oh, he's got dark vision. Okay.
Yeah. He's visibly an elf. That's not a reveal.
Oh.
When I initially described him, I believe I described him.
Got it.
Yes.
You smiled there and I was like, hmm.
No, you can see that just the decay of this building. And you see that there's marks on the floor, on the walls. A battle of some kind took place here. Some time ago, there's unanimated skeletons or bones in some of the corners that have cobwebs growing over them. And as you walk past, the roots kind of pick up these bones and start to animate them. And they join in the group of undead that are following you into this building.
I thought they were going to stop.
Dude, it's like we just come in from the blustery, windy outside, and now we're inside where it's probably not as windy. Yeah, but instead, all we can hear is the little
clanking of bones.
Of bones.
And, yeah, the growing and scraping of roots. There's a whistling of wind as it's blowing over these cracked openings. The roots themselves are groaning. This massive root tree, for all intents and purposes, in the center of the building. There's sounds coming from it of wood, like massive amounts of wood creaking and moving, almost like a ship, almost like a sailing ship. It feels like it sounds like it's moving in the way that an old boat creaks.
That's what I want to look at and pay attention to, is this root that's supposed to have been coming up from the middle of this.
Yeah. Okay, roll nature.
Yep. Dirty 20.
Yeah. It's growing out of the ground. It is rooted into the ground, first and foremost. It's important information.
I know, but I could have figured that one out with a 10.
That's true. It is growing out of the ground. It is growing and extending out out of the roof of the building. You, with a 20 nature roll, you recognize this to be, it seems, it's a familiar tree to you, except for the color of it. It's oak.
Yep, there it is. It's a white oak.
But as you get closer, you can see that it's slowly moving.
It seems to be like how?
Like shifting. Like it doesn't, it's not like it's growing and it's stretching. It's not like it's cycling through on a track or something.
Like a snake or something.
It's just kind of moving around. Like it just kind of shifts and twists and
like it's got bugs under its skin.
Like something is. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, like if there's some, like something under clothing would be moving, that you could see that there's something underneath that's moving. That's kind of how the bark is. There's something. Yeah, it's not still.
Cat wants to touch it, but she's been burned before.
I pull Cat aside. Cat, did you see that beast in the sky?
I did.
That was a dragon.
You're sure?
100% sure. I didn't want to like alarm anybody while we were outside, because that's kind of a horrifying thing.
It is horrifying.
We're inside, so we're less susceptible to be spotted by it, but yeah, that's a dragon.
It's connected in some way to this root.
Oh, you think?
I think, because we were able to see this go out and directly into the storm system. And do you see it's moving this bark?
It's not its tail, right? This isn't the dragon's tail.
Could it be?
I don't know. This is the first time I've ever seen a dragon, so...
I want to touch it so bad! I want to touch it! Oh, what do I do? What do I do? Okay, I'm a fucking Galadoy queen, right?
Yes.
So... no, what's my actual job?
Druid.
I'm a druid of Galadoy. Mm-hmm. So I should, like... I'm used to taking samples and poking around and investigating and understanding the natural world. I want to do that with this tree whilst also not touching it with my bare hand so that it can suck my life force into it. So can I do a science on the tree?
With like a knife or something?
Yeah.
Do I have greaves? Do I have something?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
I
yeah.
Just touch it without...
I suppose I could primal savagery with my nails and scrape it with my nails, but that might still activate. No.
That's your physical body.
Ah.
But yeah, but like nails would have like, yeah, like gauntlets or something.
Oh, greaves are shoes.
For your legs.
He just puts his leg up.
I just put my leg up, just kick it.
Displays his ability to
tires,
do the splits.
Like...
Wow. Because we got to test if this is part dragon. How the fuck would you do that? I don't have fucking chemicals to, like, if it bleeds, to see if it's dragon blood. Wait. Oh, wait. But I do have... Oh. Okay. Gressel, DM. Mm. I have the dragon scale hourglass, which is functionless but repaired, and it has a gentle trace of time magic. How can I... Her brain is going a mile a minute right now. Kat would like to see if she can sense dragon time magic in association with this root, and by extension, perhaps the dragon Nil says is in the storm system.
Okay. Roll Arcana.
Okay. So she's going to have the, she's going to pull that hourglass out in her left hand and roll Arcana. Ooh, it's a 19.
When you hold the hourglass out, when you pull it out of your bag, which is, it's the first time that you've checked on this item since you've been this close into the castle. The first thing you notice is that the contents are moving.
And those are dragon scales.
Those are dragon scales, the contents. And they're moving, in a... Kind of like fits and starts. It's a broken item.
Yeah.
But you can tell that what they want to do is they want to be swirling. When they do, like in the moments where it works before it kind of shorts out, you can see that the colors, these reflective dragon scales that were in the hourglass, as they start to move and they start to swirl, you can recognize the color patterns as similar to the way that it catches the light glowing off of your tattoos. Is that same pale blues and pinks of the snow and the ice. That pink ice that has encased some things around here in the strange otherworldly blue snow that has fallen. These colors are the same or very, very similar. The scales want to be moving, but it's not just that they want to be moving. It's like they're being pulled to the top and bottom of the hourglass, out of the center.
What would that mean? That would mean that time, they are repelling time. They are against the flow of time, which would be going through the center of the hourglass. So time would be stuck if that were to fully complete its passage. Okay, Nils and Kat are like huddled looking at this. Mm-hmm. So he's seeing what she's seeing. And I think she's going to whisper to him that. Yeah, she's going to whisper to him that I think he's right, that there is a dragon there. I think it's related in some way to the dragonborn and the time magic with this. And when this wants to work, it wants to stop time. I think time may be affected here. It might be stopped here. I don't know.
Oh, what happens if you turn it upside down?
I do that. It?
The scales start to fall when you turn it, but then they kind of loop back up,
they
like
glitch back into.
Like you ever have one of those like kiddie toys with like the oil in the water where you press the buttons and stuff kind of floats around?
Yeah.
It's kind of that movement where it's like it's not inelegant. It's not a glitchy. It has this kind of like flow, like you said, but they're almost repelled back up to the top. When you dump it back over, they're almost repelled back up to the top.
It doesn't want to flow.
Time doesn't want to flow here.
Not in this tool, no.
If we could figure out a way to reverse time here, these skeletons might fall apart or become lifelike again, like humans. Or whatever they were.
Nils, do you have any idea how to start the process of reversing time?
No, it's just I was just throwing things out there because I don't know. This is all new to me.
The impulse to try to save all of these lives is a good one, one would think.
But were you just standing behind us this whole time?
I mean, yeah, like I'm not. What, you want me to go hang out with the skeletons? I mean,
no, you've got this
cool time theory and we're all, I know that we're trying to be quiet because weird vibes from Castian right now, but
what?
Like.
And I looked, what is he doing? I turn at the mention of Castian.
What is Castian doing as,
yeah.
as you've kind of like stopped?
Huddled up next to the root, yeah.
He...
is he coming to push us?
Push us into the skeletons? Gotcha.
He has...
Eat, my friends, eat.
He has reached a door.
A door.
A doorway that is overgrown with vines and plants and roots. It's a mixture of the cursed ones that you've encountered and branches from the what you now know to be
the white oak.
And
which, reminder, is a tree that
Anoranthium.
Yeah. So I went back and looked at my notes for some of these things. Argaranthium had this tree. The guy who owns this castle took a part of the tree. And it's now growing here. Hmm. Also, Argaranthium was supposedly felled by a dragon.
Presumably the dragon above us.
It could be the dragon above us.
And as a consequence, he stopped time.
Or, I've got... I love playing a smart character because my theories can also be her theories. Okay, so Castian has walked over to that. He's out of earshot.
He's at a door and he has removed the flower from his jacket and magicked it into his fire magic and is doing some sort of ritual to open this door.
Okay, while he's doing that, I'm going to huddle up with the team.
And just to set the scene further, at one end of the room that you're in currently, which is like, you know, the lobby of this church, you're not in the sanctuary completely yet, but, you know, it's an antechamber that he's about to open the door for, okay. The like sanctuary part. So he's at one end, and the other end where you came in is just a bunch of fucking skeletons. So that's the situation that you're in. There's no light other than Cat glowing and Castian's fire magic and the like very pointed pale blue snowstorm light that's seeping in through cracks.
Are the skeletons advancing upon us?
They've stopped advancing.
They stop when we stop. It would appear.
They just watching,
that,
baby.
That's how it would appear.
So Lord Orothos is the one who mans this castle. Nils says that he saw a dragon in the storm system, and we see that this root, which I'm convinced is the white oak, it's an oak tree, it's an oak root, it's just discolored. It's emanating up to the storm system. There's something in me that's saying that Argaranthium did not die when he was felled by a dragon, and that is the dragon. And there's something going on with time magic. There's something going on, and I think that the cult of the White Oak is operating in order to prevent the death of or preserve the life of Argaranthium in his moment of death.
So he's the dragon?
No, he's not. No, he's not the dragon.
Oh.
But he's connected to the dragon. There's something going on with the dragon. There's something going on with him. There's something going on with Oranthios.
What if
Orothos?
He got he isn't it, what if Yenner and Thaddeus isn't dead? He's frozen in time fighting the dragon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Locked in a forever battle.
Yeah, with the dragon.
It's quite poetic.
It is poetic.
And you that's what's that going on here.
Ooh. Maybe write a song about that.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Provided we, you know, don't
die.
Don't
yeah.
die.
Yeah, sure. Write the song after we get out.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's a better idea.
But there's something going on with time. Yanner and Thaddeus, a dragon, blood in a tree system, and this cult.
There's a whoosh of flame. And the sound of singed plant life and you know, the cackle of a fire. And you look over, and Castian has opened that door, and he turns back to you. And when he does, roll insight.
21.
12.
Katheria, you notice he's very distressed.
Oh.
You were hoping that he was like, gotcha.
He was like,
I'm still
just glee.
That 12 suspicion is like, was it worth it?
He's devastated. Like he is, his face has fallen. He was already a very pale person. All of the color has drained from his skin. He looks almost green.
I start to rush over to him.
Okay.
Same, yeah.
Why is he green?
I mean, he's not turning green in the, you know, in the sense of like looking pallid or sick.
Sure, but he's opened up a door.
Yes.
Something.
And presumably whatever is past that door has turned him.
He is very distressed.
He's
yes.
distressed.
He looks very sad. His eyes are kind of sunken. He looks almost as if he's about to cry. You've seen him react strongly before when he had to deal with the shades of his of his companions, and he turns back to you, and you rush over to him, and you see this, and as you're rushing towards him, he kind of steps to the side, and he says, "Your answers to your theories are just beyond here."
I give him a comforting hand on the shoulder.
Kind of recoils.
I pull my hand away. Confusedly.
Is he referring to our theories that we just discussed?
He could be.
He could be. And I turn to look into and maybe even walk into this new space.
Hey everybody, Grussel here with a few quick announcements, then we're going to get you right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the prequel series. As I said up top, we're almost done with it, and then we're going to get back to season 5 sometime this summer. No date yet for that premiere, but it is coming soon, and once it is finalized, you will be the first to know. Follow us on Twitter for the most up-to-date news, at DNDNDpod on Twitter. Check our Patreon, patreon.com/DNDNDpod, if you want to support the show. It's the best way to do so. That's it for this one. Short and sweet, and we're going to get you back to the action. Thanks, everybody. Do what's fun. This space is the sanctuary, the actual, you know, main room of main hall of the church. There are the remnants of pews, although most of them were wood and have decayed and started, and some have rotted away, some have, you know, become almost petrified. There's vines all over this room. There's an enormous the root continues, and over the altar of this church is this huge, you know, breakout of root from the ground into the larger white oak structure that breaks out of the church. This was the biggest section of roof that it burst through, so there's snow falling in. The snow, as it gets close to the hourglass, swirls kind of around it. It, like, reacts to the hourglass.
Oh, my God.
What?
The snow is dragon scales. I whisper.
Oh. We should catch them, then.
I roll my eyes.
Nils and Majumbo are, like, gathering snow. Majumbo's trying to make, like, a snow dragon.
Well, okay, I'm trying to see what's going to make me cry. That's, like... Fuck off.
And you approach, you kind of walk in, and now, unlike before, Cassian is behind you as you guys walk in. Navia kind of taking everything in. She's been very quiet. She still feels a lot of guilt about putting everybody in this situation. And you approach this altar. Katheria, you're kind of drawn to it.
I'm drawn to
it? Yeah.
Okay.
And like, you are walking towards it, almost, you don't really know why. Like, you're very apprehensive. You got this weird vibe from Cassian just now. Mm-hmm. Like, he is very sad about something. You have this suspicion from before. You don't have, even with that, you know, dirty 21, you don't have confirmation that he's betrayed you or anything, but you're unease.
Mm.
You are on high alert, I would say. But you're nonetheless drawn to this altar. And Nils and Jumbo and Navia are all kind of following you now. And Cassian now is behind you. And you approach this altar, this gnarled root that's grown out of, burst, almost exploded out of the ground underneath this church. And as you get closer, you see what can only be described as a humanoid shape that's been, the wood has either grown around or into or enveloped or mimicked, but over this altar, there's a humanoid shape out of white oak built into this gnarled root system.
Oh, weird.
It's very clear there's a longer... the adult-sized body, and arms outstretched, legs splayed out. That's almost reaching towards this altar, and then this huge root system. And you,
but the human form is at the altar or on the floor, reaching towards the altar,
like at the base of the altar, reaching up to the top, like up to it. So yeah, like at the base. Kind of stretched up, like it was like almost as if somebody was crawling toward the altar, got to it, and then was enveloped by root or something,
candy coated by wood.
Yes, but that kind of fades into the rest of the plant, and it becomes this huge thing. And you're kind of drawn to it, and you get closer and closer. And there's this crunching noise, this snapping of wood as the white oak that you have seen has kind of been moving in this weird way, undulating. A section of it in the center of this, about eye line with you, as you approach the altar, you're only maybe a foot back from the soles of the feet of that humanoid image.
Oh.
There's this crunching noise as this wood creaks, and a section of the tree that's about eye level with you turns around and reveals a face.
Oh.
And I'm sure I dropped the hourglass.
Don't.
The hourglass shatters. And the scales are picked up by the billowing wind. And the scales that had their shape and form dissolve into grains, smaller and smaller grains, and they become snow. And they mix with the rest of the snow. Some of it, where the glass fell, pink ice grows over it and encloses it. This face that you're now staring into that shocked you to drop the hourglass. It has distinctive facial features. It's a face in a tree, but you're unable to tell, you don't know what kind of face this is. Like you and Navia have encountered like treants and tree folk, you know, in your studies and training and explorations, as have you, Nils and Majumbo. There's, you know, there's tree folk in the woods outside of Hosk. This is not that. This is not a tree person. This is something else entirely. And as it moves, as the kind of face muscles, for lack of better descriptor, move, you can see that there's almost tears in the wood, and beyond those tears is not more wood, or is not like plant viscera or anything like that. In those tears, you get the faintest glimpses of a starry expanse like what you saw in the moon room. The face opens its mouth wide in this horrible, unnatural mouth movement. It's humanoid, but it's not. It's something deeply unsettling.
But Jumbo, get the bug juice ready.
And you just hear a cork stopper sound. And there's a voice. It doesn't necessarily talk, but you all hear this voice.
Ew, so the mouth is just open, but we hear a voice?
It's creaked open, yeah.
And it's not like moving?
It's not like moving. It's like slowly kind of almost pulsating more than it's moving, or it's not gesturing really, but there's a almost breath-like movement to it. It's
ew.
Incredibly unsettling. And you hear this voice, and it kind of booms throughout the room.
Castian, you have done well. You have brought the heir's blood here.
Oh.
The ritual can now commence.
What? What's that thing talking about?
All of the hair on Cat's neck is pin straight.
And then you hear Castian, who is now guarding, you can see. You turn back around. I'm sure you all at this whirl on Castian. I would.
Yeah.
Majumbo and Navy, the characters I play, do that.
Uh-huh. I don't think Cat's still staring
Cat's
at the
focus.
Face. Yeah.
But the rest, I'm torn. I'm like going back and forth. Yeah.
But Majumbo and Navia wheel around on Castian, and they see that he is now standing, legs wide, blocking the door. He has a flame blade in his hand that he's made out of his flower. He's made it into a weapon, and he's has it kind of at the ready. And he's now definitely guarding this door. And he says, "Is this it, then? Will you finally accept the terms of our agreement and set me free? I've delivered what you've asked for. Let this end. I beg you." And the voice says,
We shall see. There's still much to be done. Take them. Take their weapons. They may join the others for now.
Vines whip in from the walls and reach for all of the weapons that you guys have.
No, that's not going to happen.
Roll athletics.
No.
Oh my god.
11. Shit.
Let's see how...
Castian recognized Galadoy.
He's a vampire.
I'm looking at my notes like, you fuck.
Majumbo also failed, and his weapons are ripped from his hands. Nils, your warhammer and your shield are ripped from your hands, from your straps on your back. Katheria, are you even rolling, or are you just in another place?
I think if she rolls, she's got disadvantage because this is her worst nightmare. This mm-hmm. is literally the thing that she was running from this whole time. I do think that at mention of the one with the heir's blood, or however he worded that, her light goes out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, maybe that, the shock of that and everything, and then the only light then is Cassian's flame. So, Nils, you feel your weapons are pulled away from you. The vines grab you. And they do the same to Majumbo, and he's like, no, hey, it's a very expensive rapier. Please be careful with that. I'm going to want that back.
Buddy, you're not getting that back. Don't talk to these vines like they're people. They're not going to give anything back.
Hope springs eternal. Navia is able to retain that short sword that she took. She rolled a nat 20.
Hell yeah. Wow.
And she is able to wrest it free of these vines. In doing so... they are pulled from the wall and some blood spurts out. Navia can see, or you, Katheria, can see it. Everyone, you, Nils and Majumbo are preoccupied, but yeah. You hear kind of a spurt. You hear something, you know, you're familiar with blood sounds. As she breaks these vines and she rests that sword back, and she runs not for the face or for you, Katheria, but she runs to Castian. And she runs him through with this sword.
Whoa.
Whoa.
You hear it. Nils and Majumbo first, but then you see it in the reflection of this flame. It's almost as if Castian didn't stop it.
Yeah.
She runs him through. And she... hard. You know, she... every little martial lesson that you taught her in the downtime, she puts her full weight... the little weight that she has into this stab, and you hear the blade enter, you hear a kind of gasp, you don't know if it's from her or from him, and there's silence for a moment, and then you hear in your heads, in echoing off the room, wherever this voice is coming from, a horrible laugh, a crunching, otherworldly laugh. And the voice says,
oh, little one, that was done a very long time ago. I'm afraid our friend Castian has been dead for some time. And not by your hand.
Oh my god!
He's a vampire.
I'm just listening to the show, man. I'm just having a great time. My characters can't move, so.
I guess he yelled to Navia. Navia, get back! I think he's a vampire.
And she does. She lets go of the sword, which stays embedded in his body, as it does. She does. She kind of steps back. She staggers back, and vines reach out from the walls, and they grab her the way that they have grabbed you guys. You're now being held. You know, it's like handcuffs almost. You know, you're shackled by these vines.
We don't see any blood from him, do we?
You don't see any blood from him. No, he steps. He's lit by his sword. He keeps his sword lit, and he kind of drops it to the side. So now it's almost torch-like. It's flickering and it's bouncing off of the walls. And he steps towards you. And in the reflection of the light from his sword, you can see skeletons coming in behind him out of the darkness of the room that you just exited. You can see that there's bones now clinking off of out from the pews and things, and they're the ones that are kind of wielding the vines that are that have bound the three of you, and they step forward, and now it's Castian leading this kind of collective of skeletons. Yes, Beth.
What happened to the uncorked bug juice?
Hell yes.
I literally was just thinking, but wait, Majumbo did uncork that bug juice, which would have been what he was wielding.
Holding.
Yeah.
When he was made to let go of all of his stuff.
Right. And the vines we have established do not like the bug juice. So yeah, so some of those vines have recoiled. Majumbo, it turns out, does have a hand free.
Oh.
But does Navia or does Katheria know this?
No. Katheria is...
But the audience now knows this.
Yeah.
And what is Majumbo going to do with his free hand? We will have to see. But yes, he did have the bug juice, and the bug juice and the vines do not mix. But Castine is stepping towards the three of you who are restrained or mostly restrained.
Can I cast Zone of Truth with hands behind my back?
Roll... another athletics roll.
Okay.
And see if you can, like, muscle your way to do the, like, whatever you need to, like, do it.
Okay.
You know? So, okay. Yeah. That's the way we'll do that.
Athletics?
Athletics.
All right, I'm rolling.
He's going to roll an athletics roll to see if he can, like, muscle the gesture out.
10.
10 won't do it. Okay. You try to cast this spell, and there's, like, a sputtering... you get kind of like a half-cocked version.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what I'll do is, it's a charisma saving throw.
Yes.
I'm going to have him do the charisma saving throw with advantage.
Castian, you are compelled to tell the truth because I just cast Zone of Truth on you.
And he, there's like a... shimmer, like a kind of half shimmer of magic that kind of you see that falls over his face a little bit, but then he kind of shakes it off and he says, "Well, my friend, I think at this point, magic or no, you're owed some truth."
"Yeah, but I magicked you, so you have to tell us everything."
I saw him do it. He's done this before. It's impressive.
"What's the truth?" And Kat turns her head.
"The truth is, well, it's a long walk to the dungeons. We may as well get started." The three of you who are bound are like forced out by the skeletons who are now kind of your jailers.
Our arms are, our hands are still bound.
Yeah, but Jumbo has one free. You notice this now, Nils.
Okay.
Do you do anything about it?
I signal to him, like I wink at him, like.
You guys share a moment of understanding?
Yeah, like yeah. I get it, yeah. Maybe yeah. He like wiggles his yeah, hand or yeah, something, yeah, yeah. And I look and I'm like.
A thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you guys now understand that he's got a free arm.
Okay.
Okay. And the three of you are start to being let out. Katheria, you're still not restrained.
I'm not.
And Castian holds a hand out to you.
I am on the brink of angry tears. She bitterly takes his hand with like as much grace as she can muster in this like very, very betrayed, angry, scared, doesn't want to make it worse mental state.
Nils turns around right to just see where Kat is right as she's grabbing his hand, and the amount of anger and rage that is coursing through him, it's like Donald Duck level.
Like
I get really warm, yeah, and I just get really mad. And it's all bottled up now.
It is. It is all bottled up because you are pushed through the door that you just came through by the skeleton that's leading you. And just as you're leaving this room, you hear Cassian say to Katheria, "For what it's worth, princess, I'm sorry."
Ooh. Dead silence. Just cold ice glare and silence out of her mouth.
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Bradloff, and Mike Seigen.